Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The biggest plays and clutch moments.
Oh, look out! Touchdown! A miracle!
It's time to go around the NFL.
Wide right, Anderson!
Carr on the quarterback sneak. Up and in! Touchdown, New Orleans!
The Saints went into Jerry World and beat the Cowboys 44-19. But how about this, Denton? And I'm sure you saw this. When they took a 41-19 lead early in the third quarter, they had scored on 15 of 15 drives to start the season. That's insane. And then they threw an interception, and then they punted, and then they just, you know, the game was over when they took a 41-19 lead. I said this very early in the show when we talked about 11 games of the 14 yesterday and last night were decided by a touchdown or less. It was a really exciting NFL day that I don't have any data to back this up, but it's just kind of a gut feel based on, you know, teams that start off on fire offensively, scoring a lot of points offensively. That tends to be a sign of something big to come. The Saints have 91 points in their first two games. They scored 47 last week, 44 yesterday. And, you know, here's the thing. It's not like they were feasting on short fields. They had 432 yards on 56 plays. That's 7.7 yards per play. They're outrageously explosive. Rashid Shaheed is their receiver that basically can, he just goes deep and you just throw it and he seems to run away from everybody. I auto-picked him. I didn't. My fantasy team auto-picked Rashid Shaheed, which was a good thing for me. Alave's legit good. I mean, really good. And then Alvin Kamara looks like Alvin Kamara again. 115 yards on the ground, had two catches for 65 yards. Derek Carr only threw 16 passes in the game, one of them for an interception. He was 11 of 16 for 243, 15.2 yards per pass attempt. That's outrageous. I guess we got to pay attention to this early season developing story, the New Orleans Saints, who Aaron Schatz from FTN Fantasy, the DVOA metric guy, said before the season started, I really think the Saints, based on a lot of the metrics, are going to be the surprise team this year. So far they are. They get the Eagles this coming Sunday in the Superdome, and they're an underdog in that game. I don't know what to make of Dallas after a defensive performance, but against a team that wasn't very good offensively in Cleveland. And, you know, a week after signing the big deal, Dak threw two picks in the loss. Let's go to Arrowhead for the game of the day.
Butker's kick for the win. He buries it.
So that followed a very kind of controversial play, although Denton and I talked about it earlier. 4th and 16, Kansas City down 25-23 from their own 35-yard line. You know, they had three timeouts left, Denton, and there was actually a discussion between Romo and Nance. Would you punt it? Not when you have Patrick Mahomes. You would never think about doing that. And by the way, not against Cincinnati anyway, because you probably aren't going to get the ball back. And I still thought there was a pretty good chance they would get it, and they got a DPI call on Anthony for Cincinnati, who got there just a tad too early with Rashee Rice. He was making a play on the ball, I guess, but it doesn't matter. You can't run through the receiver. I thought it was a good call. And from that moment, what was really interesting was how conservatively the Chiefs played it. And Butker's kick was a 51-yard kick. I think I saw a stat at one point yesterday that so far in 2 weeks, kickers are 34 of 38 on 50 yards or longer. The 50-yard plus field goal in this league is, I mean, you got to get back to 58, 59, 60 before it becomes, you know, not even a low probability, just lower probability. 50 is a chip shot. They never tried to move the ball beyond where they were at the Cincinnati 36-yard line. They ended up kicking a 51-yard field goal at the gun. They went at 26-25. Really impressed with Burrow in this game. Really impressed with the receiver, who I can't even pronounce his last name, the guy that had the two touchdowns for them. How do you pronounce his last name? You're the Bengals guy.
I only care about the LSU players on the Bengals.
Jamar Chase had a terrible penalty for them, an unsportsmanlike, totally deserved it, which derailed a drive, forced a field goal. Great football game, though. Really, really good football game. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Isaiah Pacheco was hurt in the game, right?
Broken leg, so he'll miss a substantial amount of time.
It is a broken leg.
Yeah.
Wow. That's big for them, because that means they got to go with that rookie from UCLA, who, by the way, had a fumble in the opener against the Ravens. I think he did. And he actually, I think, may have put one on the ground yesterday. He's a big bruiser. But they don't have anybody else at running back. Am I right?
I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still there, but he also might be hurt as well. So they might have to go find somebody to play running back.
Patrick Mahomes had the fewest passing yards in a win since becoming the Chiefs quarterback. Threw for a 151 in the game. A big part of that was they didn't seem to have the ball enough in the game yesterday. Great football game for week two. I mean, that was a great late window 425. You know, matchup, even though Cincinnati lost last week. And the Bengals looked like the Bengals in that loss. And they face Washington next Monday night. Let's go to Baltimore for the Raiders and the Ravens.
White. No, it's Minshew. Touchdown! Devontae Adams! And now let's see what Antonio Pierce does.
So, look, I didn't see this game. I wasn't watching this game. The Ravens got called for 11 penalties in the game for 109 yards, and apparently a lot of them were horrible calls. I mean, these weren't Baltimore people saying this, but there was an interference penalty in the end zone with them up by 10. That was a pretty bad call, and there were others as well. They had the game seemingly in control, up by 10 in the fourth quarter, but the Raiders scored the last they scored 13. They outscored them 13-3 down the stretch, and ended up forcing the Ravens, at 23-23 into trying to get a field goal, and they sacked Lamar Jackson. They got the ball back and they get a walk-off field goal. Ravens are 0-2. I think I didn't see in this game, so I don't know what to say about the calls, and I don't know what to say about what they were offensively yesterday, because I thought they were struggling to try to figure out who they were going to be against Kansas City. Henry had 84 yards on 18 carries, so he didn't have the 13 he had last week, but they had the lead for much of the game. Their offensive line is clearly an issue here early in the season. Max Crosby is an animal. He is top three or four as a pass rusher, top three maybe with Watt and with Garrett. Two sacks, four tackles for loss in the game, multiple pressures on Lamar Jackson, and the Raiders got a solid effort from Gardner Minshew. They could not run the football against Baltimore. 27 yards rushing in the game, but Minshew was 30 of 38 for 276 and a touchdown. And the Raiders dropped the Ravens to 0-2. And the Ravens are in Dallas next week for the big doubleheader game on Fox. Big game for both of those teams. The Raiders, the Ravens potentially staring 0-3, and the Cowboys staring at 1-2. What's the line for that game? I'm going to guess Dallas is a 3-point favorite. I have not looked at that yet. Have you? I'm guessing Dallas -3.
I'm pulling it up now. It is Dallas.
Ooh, Baltimore.
Baltimore 1.5
favorite.
Yeah.
Way off on that one. Wow. That's interesting. All right. Washington now, by the way, an 8-point underdog against Cincinnati. Let's go to Minnesota for the 49ers and the Vikings.
So far on the Viking defense, second down 9. Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown. Shifting gears, getting a block. That's 6.
How about a 97-yard touchdown pass from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson? I think I said this during the summer and said it last week, even before the opener. I think Darnold's a perfect fit. I think this is the fit, the Kevin O'Connell, the Shanahan scheme, and they talked a lot about Sam Darnold in San Francisco last year, about how good he looked, even though he was backing up Brock Purdy. And you got Jefferson, you've got Jordan Addison, they don't even have Hockenson back yet. Their defense improved last year with Brian Flores, who can really scheme it up. And the 49ers were without McCaffrey, and they were on a short week, you know, after that Monday night win. There's the league again. You know, the most impressive team of last week loses outright as a 5-point favorite in their next game. The Vikings off to a very, very surprising 2-0. It's one thing to beat the Giants, and it's another to beat the 49ers, even on a short week. That's a good game next week, Minnesota hosting the Houston Texans. Let's go to Detroit for the Bucs and the Lions.
First and 10 at the 11-yard line. Mayfield going to run again. Baker up the middle. Inside the 5. Mayfield lunging. Touchdown!
How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You know, it didn't go well for them yesterday. They ran 47 plays to Detroit's 83 offensive plays. How good are the Bucs defensively? They're excellent defensively. They're well coached defensively, and they were injured defensively, and they still allowed just 16 points on 83 plays, Denton. They ran 36 more offensive plays than Tampa Bay did. 2 turnovers were big, and we talked about our struggles in the red zone. How about Detroit 1-for-7 in the red zone against the Bucs? Jared Goff threw for 300, but threw 2 critical picks. Baker Mayfield and the Bucs didn't have the ball much, but when they had it, they made it work for them, and they win the game 20-16. That is as crazy as you'll see. The other team had 36 more offensive snaps than your team did, and yet your team won the game. That may be one. I'm looking through the recap to see if there's any information on whether or not that is an all-timer. That doesn't even seem right. The Bucs go to 2-0. The Lions, after their big Sunday night win, they drop to 1-1 on the season. Let's go to Houston for Sunday night football. Caleb Williams against C.J. Stroud.
Quarter. Second and long. Stroud throws in the middle. It's Collins. Flag is down. To the end zone for a touchdown.
How good is Nico Collins? I mean, another elite receiver. 8 catches, 135 yards on 10 targets. I watched this game. I had Chicago plus. I actually had them plus 7. I found a 6.5 Denton and bought it to 7, so I won. But the smell test was a push because I gave them out at plus 6. So Caleb Williams struggled in this game. There's no doubt about it. There were moments for him in the first half in particular. He was under siege the entire night. The Chicago offensive line, I thought, did a poor job. There were probably opportunities. He got sacked 7 times in the game. He was beaten to a pulp, but there was major frustration too, because when he had opportunities, he just didn't get the ball even close to DJ Moore or Roma Dunze in big spots. They had the ball down 6 with a chance to go win the game. For me, though, the story of the night, if you watch Sunday Night Football, I mean, Chris Collinsworth was on his knees talking about Caleb Williams. Look, I like Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I do. He has gotten off to a rather rough start. He threw for 93 yards last week. They got bailed out by defense, special teams, Will Levis, who's terrible. Last night, he was 23 of 37 for a 174, 2 interceptions, 7 sacks. And, like, when he threw an interception, Collinsworth was talking about how it was a great throw, great play. No, he had some terrible throws. He had some terrible decisions. He looked okay at times. I'm not saying that he didn't, but that had to be trending on Twitter last night. Collinsworth was, it was foul to listen to it. It was so not objective. It sucks because Tirico's the best Denton, and Collinsworth now is ruining that broadcast. Ruining it. And if you've noticed, now since PFF isn't the juggernaut it used to be, and people have fled PFF recently, and whatever. I mean, I think we've always known they don't have all the answers, right? You don't even hear him mention PFF during the broadcast. It used to be a PFF broadcast with Collinsworth because he owns it, or he's a part owner. What was he doing last night with Caleb Williams? Let's go to New England for Seattle and the Patriots.
Myers from 31 yards out. Dixon places it down. And the Seattle Seahawks go to 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. By the way, in that game, the Patriots, who won last week against the Bengals, they had a fourth quarter lead. They were up 20-17. Jason Myers kicked a game tying field goal with under a minute to go, and then they couldn't get anything done on their opening drive, the Patriots, and then Seattle did get into field goal range for that game winner. In that game, by the way, Antonio Gibson, 11 carries, 96 yards for the Patriots, 8.7 yards per carry. I think he was supposed to sit. I think he was banged up after last week. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Gibson there. Geno Smith in Seattle, long trip, 1 o'clock kickoff after, you know, a nice win in week one over the Broncos. You just want to get out of there with a win. They did. They start off quickly, and they, you know, it's not about who you play, but it's when you play them. They play the Dolphins next week at home. Probably no Tua in the game. They haven't signed Tannehill yet, have they? I don't think so. Good win for Seattle. DK Metcalf and Smith Njigba are just such a great pair. Look, you got to have a number one in this league at wide receiver. You also have to have a legit number two. Those two guys, listen to what they combined for. 22 catches for 246 yards on 30 targets. That's Geno Smith quarterbacking. I mean, he's solid, but you got to have guys that can get open and make plays. Let's go to Arizona for another stunner in terms of the way the game played out. Rams and Cardinals.
Fake to Connor. Murray on the rollout. Looking deep for Harrison. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the end zone. Touchdown again.
So last week, Harrison had the one catch, I think, for 4 yards. Or, you know, people, oh, my God, he's going to be dead. Thank God the Giants didn't have to take him. They got Neighbors. Four catches, 130 yards, two touchdowns. But really, Kyler Murray was the story. Perfect passer rating, a 98.2 QBR, 17 of 21 for 266, three touchdowns, no picks. Had another 59 yards rushing on just five totes. James Conner rushed for 100-plus. I'm not a big Kyler Murray guy. I readily admit that. But because I think a lot of those plays, he's running around and you don't know what's going on. But they got some weapons. Trey McBride's big time for them. Harrison Jr. is a massive add for them. The Rams were banged up heading into this game. Okay, so they had some injuries, which is why part of the reason Arizona went off as a favorite in the game. But 41-10, the Rams are 0-2 with the 49ers coming to town. Let's go to Nashville for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets against the Titans.
Down today for New York. Give it to him. Allen cuts it to the outside. He's gone. Touchdown, Jets.
That's our guy, Braylon Allen. We love him from Wisconsin. They have Breece Hall. They got a good running back tandem, but Allen had a touchdown rushing, had a touchdown catching the ball. Garrett Wilson, big time. Tennessee's good defensively. I think we have figured that out so far through 2 weeks, that they've got a pretty good defensive football team. Will Levis isn't. I don't think he's going to be the answer personally. Aaron Rodgers, 18-30 for 176 yards, two touchdowns, did not turn the ball over, and the Jets get a 24-17 win. They have the Thursday night this game this week at home against the Patriots. Let's go to Carolina for the Chargers, trying to get to 2-0 with Jim Harbaugh.
Backfield. Hurst in motion. Herbert to throw again. Throws to the end zone. Wide open Johnston. His second score of the day.
Oof. Carolina. Oh, boy. It doesn't look like my over on their 5.5 is going to work. They're terrible so far. It's early, but the Chargers went in there. They rushed for 219. How about J.K. Dobbins so far? An early candidate, by the way, for comeback player of the year and perhaps even offensive player of the year. He's rushed for 131 and 135 last week. He's averaging 9.9 yards per carry. They had Gus Edwards, the Ravens' backfield, in effect, who went for 18 for 59. You know Harbaugh wants to throw it and make it easy on his quarterback, who was outstanding, 14 of 20, but only for 130 yards. Quentin Johnston, by the way, the receiver from TCU, he looks like he's developing into something for them. Remember, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen gone, so receiver was going to be an issue. Bryce Young, there were some highlights I saw that were just wretched. A 6.4 QBR. He passed for 84 yards in the game. 26-3, the final. The Chargers are 2-0. Let's go to Jacksonville for the Browns and the Jags.
From the two, Lawrence needs to get rid of it. Can't. Safety, Alex Wright.
Yeah, Cleveland may not be very good on offense. They may have issues with their quarterback, but they are still really good defensively. Trevor Lawrence got sacked four times, got sacked for safety. He was 14 of 30 for 220 yards. Some big completions. Brian Thomas, 66-yarder in the game, the other LSU wide receiver. But Cleveland defensively was too good, and they beat Jacksonville 18-13 after getting smoked last week by the Cowboys. Jacksonville off to an 0-2 start. How about Pittsburgh and Denver? Could they start the season 2-0?
Fields to the end zone. It's caught. Washington for the Steelers' touchdown.
So, look, through the first 2 weeks of the season, the three rookie quarterbacks who were starting, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels clearly off to the best start among the three that are playing. Bo Nix, pretty bad yesterday. I saw some of the game. I had that up on one screen and had Chiefs Bengals up on the main one. He's so inaccurate throwing the ball downfield. It's almost like he has to throw those line of scrimmage throws to be effective. And Pittsburgh defensively, Denton, good God, they swarm I mean, between Highsmith and Watt, Watt had another sack, had multiple quarterback pressures. Queen and Hayward and Minkah Fitzpatrick, I know that last week it was Atlanta, and this week, and Atlanta was supposed to be decent offensively. I know it's Denver, but they nearly pitched a shutout. I have to mention one thing in this game. So Sean Payton, you know, always considered to be pretty good as a head coach, in-game strategist. They kicked a field goal with a minute 54 left in the game to make it 13-6, and they only had one timeout left. And they chose to kick the ball deep instead of trying an onside kick. That may be the biggest. I can't imagine that he didn't know you have to kick an onside kick because we only have one timeout left. That means after three plays, we're going to get the ball back with about 15 seconds to go with the length of the field to go. I think I don't know if he explained it after the game. I'm going to assume that he thought he had three timeouts left. It's a major gaffe. But if you really chose not to kick an onside kick with one timeout and a minute 50 to go needing a touchdown,
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
That's one of the dumbest things you'll ever see a coach do. We'll finish it up with a couple of Monday night thoughts and two things that I did not mention in my recap about the 21-18 win over the Giants. That's next.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.